Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
NHL playoffs continue. We've got some of our second round matchups. Vegas Edmonton is up. Max Pacioretty and the Leafs are on to the next round. They'll play Florida, which is, boy, get through that and you might have something. Leafs in the conference finals. Is the nation ready for that? Is the world ready for the Leafs getting through the Panthers?
I mean, the most interesting thing to happen in these playoffs would be the Leafs going to the finals.
That's right. Yes, that's
all the way.
Or Edmonton getting back again after getting so close last year.
Is Edmonton-Toronto the best possible finals?
For interest?
Yes. Yes,
the other options in the West are Winnipeg, St. Louis, Vegas, Colorado, and Dallas.
Right.
So, yes, for
McDavid versus Matthews, Leafs never winning it, Oilers, McDavid never winning it. I think that'd probably be number one.
Maybe Ovechkin getting in again, going for another one. The Caps are through.
Yeah, especially if he wins it, if he were to win it in the same year he broke the goal record.
Yeah.
That would be better.
You're not saying best matchup. You're just saying objectively
interesting
storyline, interesting. Yeah, I think
yes.
That's fair.
Yeah.
803-0550. We've done a couple things today. Just want to reference a tweet here from Gene Battaglia. On Devin Levi, because we talked a little bit about Devin Levi, back-to-back shutouts, and Gene there in Rochester on the sports bar at the Fan Rochester, our sister station. One thing he wrote just now was, for friends in Buffalo that don't follow the Amerks that closely, here are some key points. And he mentions the Amerks could get it, could win it all, but the first point is, Levi is ready for you. Enjoy him in October, which is what we started the show with a little bit. Just back-to-back shutouts in the playoffs. How far can the Amerks take it? How far can Levi take them? So that's exciting. We also talked a little bit about the rivalry series in the NFL and these uniform concepts. Joe's working up some concepts. I'm waiting for a good one, Joe.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make the uniform out of buffalo fur. Give me one of those if you want.
Yes.
A brown one.
Wait.
Punch it all in your image creator. Have it be chicken wings. And just give me a uniform that's not the fall one that you've created that makes them look like the Browns.
I thought you would like the fall one more than anybody.
No, it doesn't work.
It's not the Browns. There's red in here, and it's not the Browns.
Needs more yellow if it's going to be a fall uniform. Anyway, he's working on that. Yeah. Jake and Cheek DeWaga. Hey, Jake, what's up?
Hey, boys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
I just want to talk about the draft and how I just felt it was very underwhelming on the offensive portion. I mean, our first offensive pickup was in the fifth round. A tight end, I honestly believe we didn't really need. We could have just signed our old tight end three-back, Quinton Morris, and fallen to Brandon Bean, a little fiasco with the radio show. I mean, he comes on, says, oh, we shouldn't have got a receiver, what, blah, blah, blah. And then here we go, signing Elijah Moore. And I don't know, I think Elijah Moore is a decent player, but I mean, look at Amari Cooper last year. We were all excited to bring him in, but did he produce? Not really. All these one-year pickups are not really producing for us, and I'm just wondering, like, what would have to change for that to happen? Is it drafting up, getting receivers early on? Like, just seeing your guys' thoughts.
About more offensive help. I mean, they don't have that many jobs. Listen, go ahead, Joe.
It's more about, I think the better conversation is more about the top end of those skill positions and what their ideology is when it comes to building an offense. And they have clearly prioritized the offensive line and even tight end and running back to a lesser degree as run game and balanced and good yak receivers is enough with this quarterback to be one of the best couple of offenses in the NFL. And 1 year into that experiment, they were right. I wonder if they will, the way Bean talked this week, I mean, I don't think this is on the horizon, but will they ever feel that there is another way to do it? That the way they did it when Allen first became elite is a way they should try again. If a star receiver comes on the market, will they have any interest a year from now? You know, like, yep. I don't know the answers to those questions because right now I feel like I do know the answer. The answer is that they don't think they need one.
Well,
at the top end.
Sure, sure.
The depth of the position and the position group as a whole is, to me, better than it was last year. So is that enough? If I'm right in that there's going to be regression on turnovers, is their receiver group good enough to make up that difference? Is Kincaid's step forward going to be good enough to make up that difference? I think you could definitely make that case right now.
Well, it's not about statistics for the year. I know that that's awesome. Josh Allen leading them to an amazing season again is totally likely. I like their group. Do we like their group now more than we did in the AFC Championship game? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes,
we do. Because
yeah, I do. Like,
so if it's 4th and 5 again in the AFC Championship game, do they have to throw orbit motion to Khalil Shakir? Which is what they were probably looking to do, and then that all-out blitz comes and Allen throws to Kincaid, right?
Right.
If it's the AFC Championship game again with this group, is it still a screened, it's not to Amari Cooper, it's to somebody else, and maybe Elijah Moore's better for that job. Or maybe Josh Palmer's better for that job. You know, like, they can definitely win and succeed like this again. You know, people bringing this conversation back up. You say you don't think they need one. I think they went to the draft thinking they were going to get one and didn't fall that way. And that is normal. That is a lot of teams. It's one thing about the draft that, you know, this isn't a Bills point. It's an everybody point. Everybody goes into the draft thinking we're going to get these things and we're not going to get everything we want. There are, they pick 9 players over the course of 240 picks. 9 out of 240. How many graded players would there have been on the board? They probably graded 200 draft-worthy players mm-hmm. that they would have taken. And, you know, once you select those players, those become your guys. Before the draft, we're all sitting here saying, like, I wonder who I'm going to go to war for. Is it going to be Maxwell Hairston or Trey Amos? They take Hairston. Bang. Hairston's my guy. This kind of gets to going back to the quarterback conversation about when they drafted Allen. We all lined up, like, who do we like? Who do you think is going to be good? The moment they draft Allen, maybe you react, you don't like it, but 2 days later, you're like, well, it's my guy now. He's on my team.
Right.
He's wearing my laundry, so let's go. Let's do it. And you know, it's not like like Bills fans are going to root against the draft pick. You don't have to like the pick. You don't have to like what they do. You don't have to like some fans don't like their coach. Some fans don't like their defensive tackle. Some fans don't like, you know, but
yeah.
But they become your guy.
Yeah. I can't say enough this week that just if you and this every fan has done this over time. I mean, how many people will debate whether they liked a pick or not? Just because you don't like something that the team does doesn't mean you're not a true fan.
Sure.
And you're not more of a true fan because you just blindly say, I love everything they've done. If there's a couple little things, big things, I didn't like their 4th round pick. I wanted this guy instead of in the 1st round. If you love the Bills and you're going to show up to the stadium and, you know, go to the games, you're still as true a fan as everybody else is.
Yeah. Be a fan however you want to be a fan. Brad in Lackawanna. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so I happened to chime in, and I heard the whole fiasco, Brandon Bean, this, that. And I kind of have, like, a theory on maybe why he did it, but not to, like, slight you guys in any way. So my theory is that the agent was in town, the player was in town, and he just really didn't – he wanted to keep it mum on how we needed a receiver, and he tried to, like, commit you guys saying we don't need a receiver to kind of show that – as like a ploy to save money when they're negotiating, you know what I'm saying? Like a negotiating tactic or something like that. Or he was hungover. Those are my two theories.
All right, thanks, Brad. I mean, they signed.
I mean,
he said on One Bills Live that they talked with Moore before the draft and put a pin in it and said we'll get back because we'll see how the draft goes. And he said they did that with a couple other guys in positions. And because, you know, if we end up spending a first or second round pick, he's maybe not going to want to come here. Some version of that. He said that on One Bills Live. So, the idea of a ploy about negotiating, Moore had a tender that meant he was going to have $3.4 million guaranteed if he played anywhere. He was going to get paid.
Yeah.
$3.4 million to go back to the Browns or to go somewhere else. Like, he had that money guaranteed. If I understand how that tender works, which is like this new kind of tender that hadn't been used in the NFL in 3 years, and we kind of just learned about it. So, my guess is it was not some sort of ploy about Moore. Like, he did know Moore was a fallback plan going in on Thursday and Friday. And, you know, here we are on Saturday. It's the fourth round. Should we take this guy? He's like, I can get Elijah Moore. I don't need to draft this receiver. I can sign Elijah Moore. That makes total sense.
Yeah. It also, is the implication there that us talking about it cost the Bills leverage in a negotiation with Elijah Moore?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't believe that.
Like, come on.
Adam in Amherst. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to say, Jeremy, I give you a lot of credit for how you handled the call the other day with Brandon Bean as far as standing your ground. I mean, he's on the Pat McAfee show, and if he doesn't want like flowers from everybody, I mean, you guys gave it to him straight. Now, I'll say this. The Bills didn't lose the AFC Championship game last year because of offense. The defense was Swiss cheese, and he accomplished what he needed to in the draft. So, you know, I firmly believe, like, we'll see how this draft turns out in 2 or 3 years from now. But on paper, I like what they did here. And as far as the receiver, Elijah Moore, is he a third receiver, fourth receiver? Like you just said, I mean, the board didn't set up the way they wanted it to in the third or fourth round, so they went more defense. I mean, Deion Walker is probably a wild card. I mean, if they can get his back healthy, great. If not, then it wasn't a good pick. So, anyway, hey, I really appreciate you guys. I do appreciate the fact that you stood your ground on Monday. I thought that was great. If Bean doesn't like it, then, hey, he's got to get out of the kitchen and shouldn't be on the Pat McAfee show. Thanks.
Sorry. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time going over, like, all of what happened. I've dedicated some to defending his defense of his point. I think there's plenty to say about the way that they're doing it. And for him to say, I've seen it work, is correct. What they did last year worked to a point. One thing about it, and maybe it's a conversation for another day, in like 2 months, because everyone's kind of maybe exhausted of this, but the idea that like we didn't lose the game because of our wide receivers, what would that look like?
Losing the game because of your wide receivers?
Because you could say you lost the game because of the defense. When you give up 32 points, it's a very easy, that's what happened. Like, that's true. But we didn't lose the game because of our wide receivers.
Well,
that is debatable. The defense, of course, was a problem for the whole season in this game. No one would dispute that. However, how did the Eagles win? They won with their defense. They also won with their wide receivers going nuts on the Chiefs. Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, they were fine.
Right.
And they went nuts on the Commanders in the game before. And, you know, it's not to say, I also feel like this kind of conversation has been hijacked and strawmanned to the nth degree. Like, they're all just saying, you can't win without a number one. Like, that's definitely not what happened. It was all about, like, we thought you'd get a speed guy, a vertical element, and then, you know, the fallback plan when that didn't happen is Elijah Moore. I do think most of it is pretty cut and dry. Most of it is pretty easy to see what happened, and along the way people got mad, which is actually normal for football. That's another thing that happens here is we'll talk about how if McDermott and Bean, or if Bean and, or if Allen's yelling at his offensive line, or if some coach is yelling at a player, like, it's a competitive environment that tempers will flare to back up what you think is a normal thing that happens, I think, probably all the time. And the difference is, from the NFL community, you just almost never see it. Think about how much we got out of Diggs raising his arms at Allen twice. Which it never came out what was said. It was a lot of inferring what was said, and that was, that's a major problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, these behind-the-scenes spats and arguments between coaches and players across the league, the Eagles, what, who is it? Some guy said the Eagles had to trade A.J. Brown because he read a book on the sideline.
Yeah.
I got to get rid of him. You've lost control of your locker room. A.J. Brown's reading a book.
I mean, Sirianni got into it with players like 9 times during the season on the sidelines.
Dust-ups and conflicts are probably a lot more normal than we really understand or know.
Sure.
And this one came out on the radio. And, you know, I also want to acknowledge that everybody calling and saying we did a good job is a road game for him. He comes here. You listen to us. You know us. It's a road game. So I want to give him his flowers, his credit for standing up for what he believes in, too. 803-0550 on WGR.